match. All right, boys. Well, welcome back to another episode of The Sportsman. That's Joey D over there. I'm the Big Ticket. And that is Mikey V, as always, wearing a Puma zip-up Italia. Walk us through that right now, Mikey V. What's going on?
I mean, this is
ready to walk onto the pitch.
Yeah, I mean, this is supporting my countrymen. And one of my favorite quarters.
Yeah, I love it.
What?
Embracing the roots. I love it.
Yeah, no, I love the Italy gear. Is always a staple in my arsenal. I love that.
I will say they have some of the best, like, over the year. They've always had some of the best, most just classic fits with the Puma. Before that, they were with Kappa. Even before that, they were with Diadora. I had stuff, track suits from all of those different.
Yeah, their kits are always like some of the nicest ones. Wait, and they always sell out so fast. Like, yes, they're gone so fast. Like, it's ridiculous.
You have track suits, Joe?
I used to buy all the track suits.
Love a nice track suit. Nothing better.
But here's the reasoning behind it, because the track suit is a heady play, because you could wear just the pants with like a shirt. Or if you wore jeans, you could wear, like Mikey V's wearing the jacket. You could just wear the jacket. So it's really versatile. Or you could wear it together if you wanted to. I mean, it's a good play.
You guys are so Italian. It's wearing the track suit pants and nothing up top. That's unreasonable for me. I'm Irish, so.
Yeah, I love the Italy blue. The Azzurri blue.
Yes.
I'm a big advocate of it. I just think there's stuff like the only other country I think that their gear is as fresh as Brazil. Brazil's stuff is always really nice. Yeah, I think the green and yellow is sharp. I don't know. I think it's like a sharp looking.
I thought you were gonna say Spain, because I could have hopped on.
Spain's nice, the black.
Spain and then Portugal are both nice.
Yeah, Portugal's nice too. Portugal.
And the other
nice
one is that's nice is France. France has nice. Like that blue that they have with the Coq Sportif or whatever that is. That's
The United States had some really nice recent ones.
Don't sleep on America.
Yeah, the U.S. had some nicest ones. Yeah, they had the one that looked like the rocket pop from the ice cream truck.
Yeah.
Those are kind of fresh though. I like those. I like those. And then the Netherlands, I like orange a lot. It's like one of my favorite colors. So I like the Netherlands orange when they wear all orange. I love that.
But yeah. Yeah.
Nothing better.
It's something special when the Euro or World Cup comes around, man. There's a buzz in the air. Especially not so much when I'm in LA, but like when I was like living in Vancouver with all my Italian friends, like, and you get together, watch the games all together. It's just it's a good time, man.
We're gonna be at the. I mean, I think it's safe to say that this group of gentlemen most likely will be at the next World Cup. It's gonna be United States, Canada. I would imagine we're probably gonna find ourselves in the mix of a World Cup game.
I would love to go to a game.
I think so.
All right, boys. Well, let's move from football to football. And the first thing I want to get your opinion on is my guy. Jalen Hurts.
Outrageous.
New contract, man. Outrageous. Okay, well.
No one is worth that much money.
Didn't even give me a chance ticket. Just let him run. Just let him run. Go.
I'm telling you right now. What do you think on the guaranteed money?
No one's worth $50 million a year. I'm sorry. I am sorry. That is one player. Like, you could pay your quarterback $35 million and still have $15 million left to throw in for a high-end receiver. A defensive player, like I just can't wrap my head around going all in. It ties up so much of the cap space. This comes from a guy whose team threw the bag at Aaron Rodgers, like, and then you're limited as to how much money you could spend for the rest of your team. There's no doubt in my mind, Jalen Hurts is an exceptional player, but $50 million a year for 5 years. Mikey V, what do you think? I think it's
here's why. I mean, listen, in
contracts
principle,
just getting more and more outrageous.
In principle, you could always say, and listen, I said it last year, and everyone jumped my shit for it, right? Everybody jumped my shit when I said Christian Kirk wasn't worth $20 million a year. In principle, I believe he's that's certain numbers, they just don't make sense to us. But in the business of the NFL, to keep pace with what kind of contract is going to come down the road 3-4 years from now for quarterbacks when they get extended, if they're a top tier quarterback. These teams try to lock them in now at a rate in which, like, Patrick Mahomes is locked in. Like, Patrick Mahomes in 3 years, if he had a chance to renegotiate, you don't think he would, if he had the chance to do it and wasn't locked in that deal, he would ask for 60, 70 million a year. And he would probably get it because there's going to be guys that are going to get north of the amount that he got. This is business as usual in the NFL. It's keeping up with the salary cap increases every year. It's anticipating the salary cap increase every year. Joe, listen, he's not worth paying more. Like, I think most people look at it and they'll say, how in the world can you pay Jalen Hurts more money than Patrick Mahomes a year? But that's not the way you can look at it, because unfortunately, Patrick's deal was done 3 years ago, or whatever it was now, 2 years ago, and Jalen's is done today. And today's price is not yesterday's price, as they say. Right. And moving forward now, you don't think Joe Burrow is taking note on this? You don't think Justin Herbert, who, by the way, Justin Herbert, I don't, if there's one guy that I would really, really, I'm not upset that Jalen got paid that money. Jalen had an MVP season. He went to the Super Bowl. Yes, he had a good team around him, but he still had to win those games. And he was basically a touchdown machine inside the red zone.
Yeah.
He seems to do all the right things, say all the right things, great teammate. I'm not mad at that. I would be mad if this contract happened for a guy like Justin Herbert. That's the guy I think does not – Burrow, I think, deserves something similar to this that Hurts got. The one guy that it will piss me off and I will go off on if this happens to in the next – within the next year or so is Justin Herbert.
Really?
Justin Herbert has to win something. He has to win something. You got to win something, though, Joe. You got to win your division. You got to win a playoff game. You can't blow a lead like that to Jacksonville against a second-year quarterback when you have a huge cushion. Justin Herbert, this is I know people are on his coach, and I don't think the coach is great by any means, but you got to show me something before you are in the area code, the zip code of a guy like Jalen Hurts. So, yeah, I get the shock value of the number, but I'm not going to sit here and say that I'm like overly appalled by it. I'm not because this is business as usual with quarterbacks in the NFL now.
I mean, this is your team. What do you think? Like, what do you think of the contract when you saw it?
I do think that it's tough because I do think that
you had to expect it, though.
I did expect it. But what I'll say to your point, Mikey V, is that it's where the market is now. It's where it is now. And people forget that when Joe Flacco won the Super Bowl, went to the Super Bowl, right? And he was the highest paid quarterback in the league after that year. He made more money than Tom Brady and everyone else, because that's what the market dictated in that moment. And so Jalen Hurts, like you said, signed a contract today. Patrick Mahomes signed one two years ago. And if you don't think guys like Burrow and Josh Allen, the next time it comes around to them, they're not going to point exactly to Jalen Hurts' contract and say, that guy?
Well, Josh Allen just resigned, I think, but...
Well, the next time it comes up. But those guys deserve more, but it's just where the market is today. But the one thing I will say about Jalen Hurts and why I'm not super upset about it is that Jalen Hurts is an incredible quarterback. I've had to eat my words. I didn't think he was our guy. He's turned out very – I had to eat all that. But he is more than just an athletic, great quarterback. He is a leader of men.
Yeah, yeah.
He really rallies.
He's got intangibles.
He rallies that city. He sets a great example for everyone around him. I mean, he's just – you couldn't imagine a better leader for your team.
I think a perfect moment, if you want to encapsulate everything Jalen Hurts is all about, is when Nick Sirianni was doing whatever clown sideshow shit he was doing across the field to, I forget who it was. I don't know if that was the Super Bowl, right?
It was the Super Bowl.
Yeah, when he was doing that shit to Mahomes, and Hurts was the one who reeled him in and stuff. That, to me, you could have a guy who could go the total opposite way and join in or encourage it. Or for Jalen Hurts at his age and in his position to take the position he did, I was so overly impressed with that. And I think it spoke volumes. And don't think that ownership doesn't see that. Don't think that Howie Roseman doesn't see that. That is an absolute intangible for a guy who they're entrusting now with the, they have given him the keys to the kingdom. They've given him the keys to the kingdom. That's their guy. They've lost a lot of starters on defense in the offseason this year. I think they still have plenty of riches on offense to be very competitive again this year. They're going to be, I still think they're the team to beat in the NFC East this year.
Miles Sanders walk?
Miles Sanders went to...
He's gone.
Yeah, who signed him? I forget. Oh, my God.
I don't know. He's dead to me. The second he didn't sign with us, he's dead to me. So yeah, I don't know where the fuck he went. He might as well be buried 6 feet under.
I want to say he went to an AFC North team, but I could be wrong. He might have went to...
I think, like, first and foremost, I want to say I do really...
Oh, no, Carolina. Carolina Panthers. Wow. Yeah.
They are getting everybody, man.
Yeah.
Wild. Mm-hmm.
I will say that I do like Jalen Hurts a lot. Like, as a player and just as an individual, he's gone through a lot of shit. Like, when he was with Alabama, the whole thing, like, he had to endure that, the adversity. I mean,
the guy, he got benched at halftime during a national title game.
I mean, to go through that, then he goes back to Oklahoma. He goes to Oklahoma, does his thing there, comes into the league. He's questioned at every turn. For him to do that and then to kind of really just prove himself is really noteworthy. The other side of the coin, though, is he really has only had one really awesome season. Like, if right. you go back against that game against Tampa Bay when they got blown to bits, and then, you know, the offseason, people were not even sure if he was going to be the guy. I mean, take it, you were one of them. So to throw kind of cash right out of the gate after 1 year, it's a little bit – you know, it's a little bit of a reach, but I do think, like, based on my prior point of what I was saying, it's like the guy has put in the work. Clearly, he has shown that he's willing to be the guy. So
again, if you don't extend him now, the danger you run into is, suppose next year he has another MVP caliber season. Suppose next year they win the NFC again. Suppose next year maybe they win the Super Bowl or they get there again. Now you're entering Lamar Jackson territory where if he's not extended now, he's going to want even more than what he got, as he should. So you're really playing with fire. It's kind of like you have to shit or get off the pot. And the Ravens are learning that lesson the very, very hard way.
I think another thing to remember, which is I do think it contributes to why he was paid so much money, is if you look back at the last three quarterbacks we had, we had Donovan McNabb, who was a very reliable quarterback, but in big moments, he always came up short. He was throwing footballs into the ground in the Super Bowl. We had Mike Vick, who had the big play mentality, but he was just he made all these big plays, but when it came to just, can you just get us a first down? Sometimes he couldn't do it. And then we had Carson Wentz, the ultimate, just couldn't make the right decision ever. So to have a guy like Jalen Hurts, who... sometimes we don't win. Sometimes the game doesn't go the way we want, but it feels very safe. He seems to always make the right decision, whether it works out or not. And I think to finally have a guy in Philadelphia who, whether you win or you lose, has a guy who it feels like you're very safe. The ball feels safe in his hands for the first time in a long time in Philadelphia. And I think they valued that. And I think coming from the past, I think that's part of why we gave him so much money, is that we finally feel like Obama almost. Like I feel very good about, he's always going to say the right thing. He's always going to do the right thing. And I think that's part of what contributed to him getting as much money as he has.
Yeah. I mean, he's one of those guys that, like, there's no controversy at all surrounding him. Really not too many injury concerns surrounding him, minor stuff, if anything. No drama off the field, no on-field issues with any teammates to be spoken of, clear leadership ability on the field, increased incredible performance once they put A.J. Brown in the mix and they gave him some weapons around him. I mean, I think everything fell, the stars really aligned for Jalen Hurts.
And he took
full advantage of it, and good for him. And again, they'll be the favorite going into next season out of the NFC East. And they'll probably be there at the end of the year contending for the NFC. I mean, unless something crazy happens, somebody gets hurt. I mean, why not?
I do agree. Going back to even just to Joe's point, though, too, where I will agree with him is that no one is worth $50 million a year, is because as great at all the points I just made about Jalen Hurts, he can still get injured, man. Someone could pop his knee.
That's the game, though.
Yeah, it is the game, but that's why no one's worth 50 mil, is because it can happen to anybody.
And then the Chiefs fans would tell you that Patrick Mahomes is worth double that. You know, I mean, they've won two Super Bowls now with this guy. I mean, can you put a price on winning a Super Bowl?
And he got hurt in the playoffs.
I know guys who would be satisfied if they saw a Super Bowl win and you know, they expired some years after that. Like, there's legitimate older people out there who would say something like that. And, you know, you can't put a price on hoisting the Lombardi. You know, it's one of those things that it's just a very rare feeling for most organizations. So I would say that there's a few guys out there that I think people would say they would pay that price tag for. Not many, but few. But yeah, when you don't have the Lombardi on your resume yet, I do think it's always going to get scrutinized a little bit more. Yeah. And that's justifiable and arguable to that point, I think. That's fair.
But I do think that our window was last year. I think teams usually, unless you're the Chiefs, unless you have this magical team and this magic coach and one of the best quarterbacks to ever play the game, I think you usually win Super Bowls when you get everyone for cheap and they're young. And like you just pointed out, we lost a lot of guys on defense. As Joe pointed out, we lost Miles Sanders, and we just signed our quarterback, who a lot of people think only had one great season, for $50 million a year. So we really put ourselves in a bad situation, and we're going to have to be really, really good and well-coached. Well,
Jalen Hurts, now what happens is Jalen Hurts elevated last year. He's going to have to elevate to another level this year. And the onus is really going to be even more so on his back this year than it was last year. Like, when the defense is struggling, they can't get other teams off the field. Everyone's going to be looking at him like, you have to match him. You got to drive him down the field. But I think he can handle that. I mean, he's been playing at the highest level of competitive football at Oklahoma, at Alabama, just played in a Super Bowl. He's been playing at the highest level of competitive football for the last almost decade. So I'm not concerned with him being able to elevate his game. It's just, can he physically execute it on the field consistently? I think he will. Yeah. I think he'll be fine.
I mean, that defense got decimated, so look for the Eagles to be in a lot of high scoring. Whatever the over is for week one for the Eagles, I'd hit the over.
Yeah.
Score on us. I guarantee it, man. But moving on, still football. Boys, Dan Snyder, what a mess. But he bought the team for what, like $500 million? He's selling it for close to $6 billion. How do you feel about Washington? How do you feel about that whole situation going down?
I mean, listen, God bless him. God bless him. I mean, listen, he's a train wreck. That organization's been a well-known train wreck. The building's been falling down. You got people, you know, seats and benches collapsing. You have raw sewage getting leaked into the stadium. Like, it is the Sean Taylor monument that's like made out of coat wire hangers.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Like, it is. Yeah. They are just a total backwards fucking organization. So absolutely necessary. And now this guy gets the last laugh. Everybody wants to break his balls about this, that, or the other. He was a scumbag. That's fine. And if I was him, I would be taking all of that negativity and I'd be like, yeah, well, that's fine. And I'll be sitting on $5 billion worth of profit.
Imagine,
like,
buying
don't give a shit.
$500 million and selling it for 12 times.
How about, could you imagine purchasing it and just having the money to say, $7 billion sounds, that's all right. I could swing that. That's like me going out and buying like a sport coat and being like, should I buy the sport coat? Yeah, I guess I could swing it. Fuck it. Let's go. Put it in the cart.
Who's got that kind of coin?
That's fuck you money, man. A lot. But there's people out there who have it, and investors, and I'm sure that guy who's buying it is part of a larger group of investors that's gonna.
There's gotta be multiple people involved. $7 billion. That's fucking.
Yeah, the only owners that you find in the NFL that are like solo jobs is like the people who've owned these franchises for decades, like the McCaskies and Pittsburgh and the Maras and, you know, those family businesses that go back decades and decades for when you bought a team for, $200,000.
How is this team even worth that much? They've done fucking nothing for
market.
It's the just market, what
the, no, it, I know what the market, but like
it says more about how the NFL is doing than it does about how that team.
Absolutely, is. Absolutely, and the fact that they play the Dallas Cowboys two times a year, which is the highest valued franchise in the world, arguably,
and the
one
New York
of,
Giants,
the New York Giants two times a year. They're in the metropolitan media area. I mean, they're if it's done right, the Commanders could be a money making machine if somebody comes in there and does it right. They were NFL royalty for a little stretch there when they won the Super Bowl. They had some great teams, the Hogs and
the
and
Hogs, all that. Man, the Hogs.
Yeah, they were a legitimate football team. They were great, but they really fell on some bad times, man. And Snyder was at the head of it all. So.
They've been.
When they were changing the name, I thought they were going to. For a second there, I thought they were going to be the Washington Hogs. I thought that would have been.
And then I was thinking the Red Wolves. They
Red Hawks. I heard
the Red Wolves, Hawks. And then there was like not the Patriots, but like something along those lines.
Warriors.
Something like that. Yeah.
I
mean, Commanders is okay. I like the Washington football team. I actually thought that was fun.
The only thing I don't like about the Commanders is I hear people calling them the Commies.
Yeah, that's bad. That's a bad look. I mean, listen, it's nothing out of bad intent, but like I very, very rarely will call the Guardians anything other than the Indians and the Commanders anything other than the Redskins, just out of years and years of indoctrination of those names. It's just so difficult not to think of them by those names, the logos. You know, like the Indians, like the Guardians logo stinks now. Like it sucks. Logo was so badass, bro. Chief Wahoo on the hat. That was a badass. Like that was such a cool fucking logo. And I thought it paid more homage to that than like insult. But
no
again,
way. No,
I don't know, man.
You can't
I don't
be
know.
Serious. It looked like a cartoon.
The Indians super not okay. I would agree with you with the Redskins, though. I thought the Redskins.
That's a badass logo too.
I thought their logo paid more homage. The Indians,
but that name is as bad as you could be. I mean, the Redskins.
Yeah, I guess you know what, man. Like I'm used to. I remember watching when I was a kid. I remember watching Major League for the first time. And it's like, you know, it's like it just rips away part of like your childhood. And I don't know, like nobody back then was offended by that. Like back in the early 90s, I felt like nobody really gave a shit. And now it's like everyone is very offended. And that's fine. And I've been actually a lot better with the Commanders because I think I got trained into calling them the Washington football team for so long. And then when they came out with the Commanders this year, I'm like, all right, the Commanders. I think Washington football team is good, though. I did like that.
Welcome to woke culture.
that's fine.
I mean I'm not a huge woke guy either, but there are some pictures of Chief Wahoo, the Cleveland Indians guy,
I haven't seen them. I believe it though.
But the Redskins, I mean, yeah, their name's a problem, but I thought their logo at least did more. I thought that was very honorable. But also one thing I'll leave you guys with before we move on here is that Jeff Bezos was very close to purchasing the Commanders.
Really?
He already owns the Washington Post. He's already owns half the lobbyists in Washington. His fingerprints are all over Washington. He was very close to purchasing that team, and it, you know, wouldn't have been much money to him. A guy who has $80 billion, what's another $7 billion?
Is that what he has?
Yeah, something like that. He's the richest.
That is outrageous.
Yeah, check out Amazon stock. See what it's trading for. It's something around $2,500 a stock, you know. So
jeez. I'll tell you what, I'm not a big Amazon guy.
I love Amazon.
Really?
Really?
Hey, Joey D, you're not an Amazon guy?
No.
I mean, it's the easiest thing.
Well, everything's sent to him for free now. You know, he gets the Wendy's bag.
So if you end up buying a home or a condo or a townhouse, you will be using Amazon, I promise you. Or if you have kids eventually, you will be using Amazon at least once a week because you will need something, an odd or an end around the house. Yeah. And you don't want to go to fucking, honestly, it's The retail stores have gotten so bad with customer service and with inventory that it's almost not even worth taking the gamble of going to the store, not finding it, having to drive home and then looking on the internet anyway. It's easier to just go to Amazon, have it overnighted. In some cases, if you order it early enough in the day, they deliver it the same fucking day. It's insane what they do, Amazon. It's crazy.
I like going to the store.
So do I, but a lot of times they don't have certain things, though. Because the inventory is so bad. And then, God forbid, you ask one of the fucking employees in the store to guide you to where the item is. They might they look at you like you just ask them to find the Fountain of Fucking Youth. They look and they take their phone out.
That was like
Best
Buy, dude. Those guys did it worst. Best Buy went in there to buy a laptop. I was willing to spend a fucking boatload of money, and no one was around. No one was around to help me until the one guy told him I wanted to buy the laptop. Then he realized he was going to make commission off me. Then all of a sudden, he's all fucking gung ho.
Oh yeah, he saw. He knew.
Then
he
they're trying to sell me the Geek Squad and the tech support.
Oh yeah,
buy. And me, like a sucker, I bought it all. I got the whole thing.
They saw Cutsy as an easy mark as soon as
Joey
he
D's got Apple
gums,
Care through 2055.
He was a cash cow
for
them.
Password to lock the file. I still haven't gotten it yet.
That's the wildest story of all time, bro.
I still have not gotten my wild computer story.
Have you guys ever driven by, like, we just went to Palm Springs a few weeks back, and we drove by the Amazon, what they call the fulfillment center.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of the largest facilities I've ever, it has got to be 2 acres of
It's just, like Area 51.
It really is. It's bizarre.
It's
bizarre.
It's just a fucking warehouse.
There probably is a fucking alien in there for all we know. Listen, the Amazon trucks are the closest thing that I've seen thus far to flying cars. Like the new Amazon delivery trucks are so high tech.
Nice.
If you look at them, I mean, they put the United States Postal Service to absolute shame.
They do.
Like the United States Postal Service looks like they're driving Fred Flintstone's vehicle.
Yeah, those
and
things.
And Amazon has George Jetson's vehicle. That's the deal. It's embarrassing.
The United States Postal trucks look like they could run off a fart. Like
you know that after a long shift, a UPS guy, a DHL, and a FedEx guy are sitting at the bar, and the Amazon driver walks in, and they're like, "Yeah, look at this fucking jerk off truck. My fancy new truck. Fuck you, pal."
That's
an SNL skit right there. That is
the post office is the worst truck that I've ever seen.
They haven't changed their truck since I've been alive.
And Amazon is just, these trucks are fucking, even my wife the other day is like, "Did you see this truck?" I was like, "Yeah, it's nice. Like I wonder how much, can I lease that thing? A lot of room in there for the kids. Like, is that on the regular market?
It's like a Sprinter van.
I just won't get it marked up. I'll take the Amazon off of it, and it'll be the Mikey V family vehicle. That's fine. Amazon has their hands in fucking everything. This Yankee game that's on TV behind me, not on the S Network, on Amazon Prime.
By the way, I will tell you about Amazon. It's the hardest fucking thing to cancel a subscription for of all time. I spent an hour and a half trying to cancel my subscription. I gave up. I didn't know how to do it. I couldn't. They make it so ridiculously tough to cancel your subscription that eventually you're like, "Fuck it. I guess I'm."
We've gone off the rails tonight.
Have you ever tried to quit the gym? By the way, have you ever seen
the links they go to?
LA
Fitness.
That's
the most difficult thing to cancel on the face of the planet. You know what? I sat down once with gym membership and I was like, "Listen, now the truth was that I found a gym that was like, it was just cheaper and I felt it was better and whatever. Like, I just didn't want to go to this gym anymore." And they legitimately they were like, "Okay, hang on. You got to wait for so-and-so. So-and-so is not here. You could try again tomorrow." Okay. Tried again the next day. Finally get to sit down in this office. You got to go into like a back office, not at the front desk, which is absurd. Go into the back office. And the lady sits me down and puts me under the fucking heat lamp, and she starts grilling me, giving me the fucking rundown. And she's like, and I made up an excuse. I'm like, "Well, I'm moving." "Do you know this lady had the balls to ask me, well, where are you moving to?" I wanted to be like, "You know what? Fuck you, man. I want to cancel the membership. Like, what do I have to do here? You know, just call my credit card company and cancel. Like, what the fuck is going on?" That's the easiest way out of a gym membership. Just cancel the credit card and move on and get a new card. That's the easiest way to do it, because they are fucking impossible. Impossible.
Sometimes they'll, like what happened to me once when I was moving as well, they'll bring in the most beautiful women you've ever seen in your entire life. And they're like, are you sure
you want to leave?
Want to leave?
It's been working for you. I don't know, you know, it's been...
Before you know it, tickets signed up for
personal training sessions. His membership went up to His membership is $795 a month now because he's got seven training sessions a month lined up with Veronica from the bike unit.
Yeah, I paid more than I would have ever before. Oh, boy. All right, boys, let's get this train back on the rails here. Rory McIlroy, guy four went a weekend, two rounds of golf, $3 million.
Yeah, that's wild. I didn't even know they could do that. So if you don't want to play, they fine you? Or if you withdraw?
He committed to it.
No, it's not that he was fined. It's that he was lost. He lost out on that kind of, if he just played the round, he would have made that much.
How so? Through sponsorship?
Through playing and the purse.
How do they know he would have won $3 million?
Not necessarily. What if he didn't make the cut?
That's what I'm saying. How do they know he would have won $3
million? That's a good question.
What
are we doing here?
I gotta look into that. Hold on, let me see.
To something, and I talked about
It's a $3 million fine. It's a $3 million
fine.
Think he committed to playing in the tournament. He backed out.
Is currently in the headlines after he skipped the RBC Heritage, which, by the way, fuck you, Jordan Spieth. I had you to win.
Oh, he lipped out.
He lipped out, man. And you know what? He throws the hat. He throws the come on, Jordan. That pissed me off something serious, bro. Anyway, Rory's presence is important as Tiger, blah, 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 blah.
Oh, it's from his PIP. It's from the PIP. So he was going to make $12 million and he lost $3 million from his PIP bonus.
Things have been a little dicey since he skipped the recent PGA Tour event in South Carolina. He's expected to lose millions of dollars for not being part of the tournament.
Yeah.
According to sources, the golfer will be losing $3 million from his $12 million PIP bonus. Listen, if you're going to piss away $3 million, bro, just send me over $50,000. Just send me over $50,000. That's all. I'm not asking for a million. I'm not even asking for 100,000. Send me $50,000 if you think $3 million is that easy to just flush down the toilet.
That kind of pisses me off.
Oh, that's annoying, man. That's annoying. But you know what? That guy must have so much money that $3 million is fuck it.
I want to talk about something right now that I brought it up in the Brilliantly Dumb podcast. Draymond Green. I need to know. I know Mikey V, I've already gone on a tangent, but legitimately, do you guys, if you were running an NBA franchise right now, would you want this guy on your team with all the shit that he brings and all the baggage and all the fucking nonsense that he brings with him? Would you – because Bob said he would want to have him on his team.
Well, to Bob's point, I get like Draymond Green is a guy – is the type of player that – if he's on your team, you love him. If he's on another team, if he's not on your team, no matter who you root for, odds are you despise him. You hate his guts. But if he's on your team, he's like that guy who's like, man, this guy gets under everybody's skin. He fucking pisses everybody off. He throws everyone off their game. He mentally fucks with everybody. And he plays lights out defense when he was in his prime. He was a catalyst. I think he was a major catalyst for some of those Warrior teams. So if he's on your team, I think you love him. If he's not, I could understand how you absolutely can't fucking stand the guy. I totally get that. But it's like I said to Bob, I said last night, it kind of reminded me like a Pat Beverly or a Rodman.
Yeah.
Like one of those guys who's just some of those Pistons players from back in the day, like a Bill Laimbeer type. Richard Sherman, another guy like that. Football's got plenty of them. You know, Bill Romanowski. I mean, guys like that. These guys were hated league-wide, by a lot of people. Couldn't fucking stand them, called them dirty, this, that, and the other thing. But if they were on your team, on your team, you fucking loved them because that's what they brought to the table. And that's
Who was the guy on OKC who was blowing into people's ears, untying people's
shoes? Oh, my God. He blew into LeBron's ear. That was a huge meme. Right. I remember
Steven
that.
Lance?
I forget, bro. That was one of the best
he played with the Pistons.
He played with the Pistons and with the OKC, right? Stephen Lance, was that his name?
I don't know.
It was.
But he's another one of those
played
guys.
The guitar.
He played the guitar.
Like when he'd score, he would do the air guitar.
That's phenomenal.
Yeah, do you not remember?
I don't remember that part.
His name again.
That's tremendous. Lance Stevenson.
Yes.
Yeah, he used to. He'd have a big play, and he'd start playing like the air guitar in the middle of the fucking floor.
I tell you that meme of him blowing in LeBron's ear is like one of the best. That's one of the best things that's ever happened. Ever. Yeah.
You know another guy who's I know you guys aren't. Oh, at least Mikey V, you're not a huge hockey guy. Brad Marchand is another fucking
puke. He is. That's
for
a great
the Boston point. Bruins. But here's the thing with Brad Marchand is he's actually like an elite hockey player. Like he's a legitimate superstar. So like he's still got all the antics, but he is one of the best players in the league. So like to me, if I'm looking at him, like he backs it up with his play. Like Draymond plays hard, but he can barely make a basket nowadays. He's terrible. He used to be
good. When he was at Michigan State, man, he was a dog. And then for the first few years in Golden State, man, he was
getting triple doubles. He was good.
Yeah, he was a great player.
I don't know when he fell off the cliff.
I mean, listen, you know,
the podcast. That's probably when.
There's guys like that. There's guys like that that are just hated league wide. I mean, again, they're hated league wide. You know, like Ndamukong Suh is another guy that everybody hates. But the guy was the guy Jack Tatum. You know, Jack Tatum was another guy who. And now you're talking about some of the best players at their positions. You know, some of these guys aren't bums. They were legitimate players. But I just think it's the reputation that these guys get. You know, Rodney Harrison was another guy everybody always said was a filthy player. One of the greatest ever. I would have loved to have Rodney Harrison. I would love to have him.
Yeah, dude, my family's a huge Lions family. Most of my family's from Detroit, Kalamazoo, right. Derek right. Jeter. Shout out. But so we were at Thanksgiving one year, probably 10, 12 years ago, when Ndamukong Suh put his hand on Aaron Rodgers' head to stand up. I mean, that's a dirty
player.
He also
stomped on Aaron Rodgers as well.
He stomped on Cutler. He stomps on every quarterback. That's just the way Sue played.
That was
when he was in Nebraska.
TV,
when he was at Nebraska, he played the same way. This is who he was. That's always who he's been. So,
yeah.
You know, again, a guy that you absolutely despise if he's not on your team. But if you root for that team, you're like, fuck yeah, go ahead. At least I am. I mean, you know, and I don't encourage dirty play. But, I mean, you need a guy like that who's not, you know, who's not going to shake hands. There's nothing that pisses me off more in sports right now than when in the biggest rivalry spots at the end of the game, like everyone wants to make out with each other and suck each other's. Like that really bothers me. Like
the jersey
I think
swap.
So much of the rivalry, like real hatred aspect has been lost. There's only like really, and I hate to be biased. I really feel like one of the only rivalries left where the players really hate each other. They're indoctrinated that way is Ohio State, Michigan. I really feel there's always a fight. They always get after it on the field. They don't ever pat each other on the back when the game's over. There's no real sportsmanship when the game's over. They just go to their tunnels, go to their separate. When you see a player like Ndamukong Suh do that, like it gets you a little jacked up. Like, yeah, we don't have to suck everybody's, you know what, every time we play them. Let's play the game and be tough about it a little bit, and let's make it a true rivalry again. I miss that. I miss old school football like that.
Yeah. After the game, these guys are laughing with each other.
Because they're making so much money, and I get it. And a lot of these guys, especially now, weren't around for those days when these guys were getting paid fucking nothing. And it was really about like pride and rivalry and stuff. Some of them get it, but a lot of them don't. So I don't blame them.
Together, a lot
I just
of them
like to do. See it. When I see it, I get excited for it. Like by that's way, why I love
know,
those college
you know which
rivalries.
Line I follows us and is a fan of the program, and I actually will be rooting for this year is Aiden Hutchinson.
Oh, Aiden does really?
Yeah,
Michigan, Mikey V's favorite.
Hell of a player, man. That guy is a good game changer, man. Yeah.
You know what? Off topic. Why did
never
they
did he beat Ohio State? Yeah, I think he beat him his senior year.
Sure did, Mikey B.
Yeah, once out of four times. Nice job. Good job, baby.
Wow, Mikey B. By the way, do you think
fuck I till I die, bro?
You think Bryce Hall's going first overall?
Bryce Hall?
Bryce Young.
So I really thought Carolina, all the smoke was that Carolina was a CJ Stroud organization, but apparently now Bryce Young is such an overwhelming betting favorite to go number one overall. I don't think you can say that he's not gonna.
What changed though?
I guess this was when the Bears traded the one pick to Carolina, the odds immediately flipped almost immediately that CJ Stroud was the favorite to go one overall. And then eventually after the combine, after pro days, that's when the number just has done like a 180, but there's so much smoke now. This is this week is the ultimate. This is one of the best weeks in sports. It really is. Leading up to next Thursday, when this pod drops today, we will be officially 1 week away from the draft. Got to have the party in the cave, all the boys coming over to watch the draft. This draft is going to be so fucking interesting because I don't think I can remember a draft where it's so not chalk. Really, there's no clear cut. Like, I guess, again, the betting favorite, Bryce Young, is the only thing you could say is chalk at number one at this point, if you believe that. So I think Young goes first. But then Stroud, is someone going to overreach on Anthony Richardson, who I personally think he's a super athlete, but he did not show me much in college, if at all. If you can't win in college and you're supposed to be that incredible of a super athlete and your ceiling's that high at quarterback, I have some questions about you. And I know he played in the SEC, but I'm not sold on him. Will Levis, is somebody going to overreach for Will Levis?
Will Probably. Levis is real good.
Probably.
Man.
Where is Jalen Carter, who is consensus the number one overall pro prospect above the quarterbacks? Now talking about him not even going in the first round, he's off teams' boards. Is that really going to happen? I don't buy that either. Somebody will take a chance on him. It could be the Bears for all I fucking know at nine.
Hendon Hooker is another guy too to watch.
Hendon Hooker, you got Will Anderson, the edge rusher from Alabama, is going to go very, very high. You have Pete Skoronski, the tackle from Northwestern. Paris Johnson, the tackle. Jackson Smith and Jigba, the wide receiver from Ohio State. There's going to be the first round of this draft is going to be one of the most entertaining first rounds we've seen in a long time. I think there's going to be teams trading up and down because somebody is going to get desperate for that fourth and final quarterback. Because once one goes, the floodgates will open. So if Bryce goes one overall, the floodgates will open and teams will hit the panic button. If they think that Will Levis or Anthony Richardson is their guy, they will do and take drastic measures to move up to take one of them. I've seen it happen before. We've all seen it happen before. Look what the Niners did for Trey Lance. And now they're talking about trading him. And keeping Brock Purdy.
We'll get there in a minute.
Yeah.
Mikey V, do you think you could do Mel Kiper's job better than him?
No. Well, if it was my full-time job, I think I could do as good of a job. If I was given the resources that Mel Kiper has and I was able to dedicate myself fully to it, I think I would do Mel proud. I'd say that.
I think so too. I think you're like Adam Schefter taking
over. I love the draft.
Like you're the protege.
Next Wednesday, I'm doing a Twitter Spaces with Adam Rank. We're going to do a call-in Twitter Spaces. We're going to just do everything NFL draft. Adam Rank, NFL Network guy.
Yep.
I like Adam Rank.
Yeah. Adam Rank's good. He's a Bears homer. I say it all the time to him. Like, he's over the top, like, optimistic about the Bears all the time. And I tell him, you know, Adam, you got to be a little.
I like Adam Rank and I like Matthew Berry, I like as well a lot.
Yeah, Berry's good. Everyone knows Matt Berry. But yeah, the draft to me is like one. The draft to me, and people are going to say I'm fucking crazy. The draft gets me as excited as the Super Bowl if my team is not in the Super Bowl. I get as excited, if not more so, for the draft because
are
my
you
team.
Kidding me?
No, listen to me. Listen to this logic. Hold on, Joe. Hold on.
That is so outrageous.
Number one,
you're
I've
telling
been,
me you'd be more see, excited for the see, draft ticket? Than for the Bears to be in the Super Bowl.
Now, Ticket, what did I say when I said about the Super Bowl? Did I not say if my team is not participating? I said that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So I want to make sure I'm not fucking crazy. Okay. So I said, if my team is not participating in the Super Bowl, to me, the draft is as exciting, if not more so. And I'll tell you why. Number one, I always have a big party for the draft, which is great. We have a really good gathering of people for the draft. Secondly, your team, if not in the Super Bowl, is more than likely a participant the night of draft night. Your team is going to be drafting a player
that they view to be the next future star of their team, their first round pick, the first night. I'm not saying that the Friday night second round or the third round or the fourth.
Okay,
I'm saying night one of the draft, the first round of the draft, especially if you're picking in the top 10, you weren't in the Super Bowl. To me, how is that not more exciting than the Super Bowl for you as a fan? I think it has to be. Like, I am fucking amped for next Thursday. I'm ready to fucking rock. It's going to be awesome. And, Joe, you should be excited, too, because the Packers, I don't know what's going on in Green Bay.
You got to figure out what the fuck they're doing with Aaron Rodgers.
Sure,
I mean,
do.
Like,
sure do.
I mean, at some point, like, time is ticking, man. Week.
I think it's going to happen. I just think they're waiting till June because once it's a post-June move, it changes everything drastically salary cap number-wise. It changes things drastically. Post-June stuff as opposed to pre-June stuff has major effect on overall salary cap numbers. So I think that's what the holdoff is right now.
Do you think there's any way that the Jets draft very well and they say, you know what, we don't need Aaron? You think that could still fall? You think no matter what, whether they draft well
or not? No, because what are they going to do? They're going to roll in with Zach Wilson. And I think that the fans will be – listen, maybe the Jets brass wouldn't be totally against it, but I think they'd lose part of the locker room, number one. And number two, they know goddamn well they play in New York City. Zach Wilson throws up one bad game – the fans will be out for fucking blood. Yeah. They will riot outside of MetLife Stadium. There will be riots. The Turnpike will be shut down. Route 3 will be on fire. Route 17 will get blown up. It will be an absolute fucking it'll be mayhem. Mayhem. It'll be anarchy.
The fact, too, that they made such a big deal about it before any of this.
They like did.
That, it
they
was
did.
All over the press. It was everywhere. The fact that that happened, it almost makes me feel like more so like they're going to go through with it, because otherwise if they didn't have like sincere interest to make this happen, I feel like it would have been on hush hush levels. Like they wouldn't have been talking about it. Did you Mikey V say that the fucking general manager was
the GM came out in public 2 weeks ago and said, he's coming here. Don't worry about it to a large group of people on live on live radio.
Yeah, the fact that they make such a big thing about
GMs it. GMs don't do that. GMs don't do that.
So wrong, though. I can see. Well, there's a whole summer. Bob can too.
Bob's very nervous.
Bob's already I would come be down for doomsday thinking that.
Yeah, he's writing it off. He's writing it off. But that's Jets too. Fan. That's typical Jets fan. That's like Bears fan. You always think the worst is going to happen. You never think anything good can happen.
So, Joe, what would you, in your perfect world, what do you get back from the Jets? What's a good trade for you?
I would love to do it before the draft and get their first round pick. I mean, that's in a perfect world. That's what I would love. I
can't see the –
I know they probably won't, but if you're asking me, I would love that.
No, right. For your for a perfect world for you, that's the right answer. But I think even if the Packers could procure a first round pick next year and the Jets I think they would. The Packers would jump at that too. I think it's just if the Packers are dead set on a first round pick, I think the Jets are going to have a little bit of apprehension towards that, only because I don't think that they believe they have a guarantee that Aaron Rodgers is going to play for more than one season. I think the Jets could think in the back of their minds, listen, if things don't go right this year for this guy, he could just say, fuck it, I'm out. I'm retiring. Yeah. He's got the money. So I think that's what's in the back of the Jets' mind. And for them to give up a first rounder with that on the back end potential.
As a Packers fan, this is having him leave is for the best interest of the team moving forward.
I agree.
Because of the salary cap hit that he presents and just the fact that they'll be freeing up a lot of space. And not only that, they have got to see what Jordan Love presents. Man, whether he's the guy or not, they got to give him an opportunity to play.
Yeah, and I don't even know if it's so much about the money for Aaron leaving and why it's okay. I just think that it's run its course. I think that his career in Green Bay has run its course. I don't think I could sit here and say I've watched this team very closely because they're a division rival. They're our biggest rival. I watch them almost as much as I watch the Bears. This team, you cannot tell me, hasn't had the rosters to win Super Bowls over the last 10 years, and they haven't been able to do it for one reason or another. You could point to bad defense at sometimes. You could point to Rodgers not coming through in the clutch sometimes. You could point to head coaching sometimes, play calling at some. But the bottom line is, over the last 10-plus years since they won the Super Bowl in 2010, they have not been able to get it done with him at the helm. So I think that it's run its course, more so than money, more so than salary cap. I just think that it's his time in Green Bay has been, it's over. It's done. It's run its course and it's time to move on and see what else you could do. It was a wild ride because they had teams there that I bet them several times to win the Super Bowl. And I just.
Devastating is the only word I can use.
Yeah. Like the MVP year 2 years ago when they lost to San Francisco at home to Jimmy Garoppolo in the snow,
that entire game
in the snow. I could not believe they lost that football. Could not believe it.
You bet on that game. We all did. We all bet.
I went on that fucking.
I had him on a future to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah. I think on that game specifically, I think we Bob.
Oh yeah, I had him in the game too. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Definitely. Well, talk about a guy whose time has not run its course, who's barely gotten started, is Trey Lance in the 49ers. They're already thinking about getting rid of him. They're at least fielding calls. Do you think that's the right move, Joe? What do you think? Do you think they should give him another shot? Give him a year? What do you think?
I tell you what, Ticket. We had a Ticket and I had a future bet between each other. Early on in the Sportsman before this year, before this season. And he took Trevor Lawrence, and I said Trey Lance was going to be the guy who was going to come out better. And boy, oh boy, is that not even a question now. Trey Lance comes out, I felt like for a minute, injures himself out for the season. I'm going to tell you this right now. Brock Purdy is not the guy. There is way too much hype around this kid. And if you put him in for a longer sample set than what he played, I think you're going to see him struggle immensely. I mean, sometimes you just play off of momentum. I think to pick a guy like Trey Lance so high, like you said, to move up just to get rid of him is just, it's just stupidity to me. I don't know why he's still in a rookie contract. Why do they need to get rid of him?
Well, let's call a spade. You were very angry that you thought he should have came back in during that championship game.
Brock Purdy, yeah, fuck yeah. He didn't even try. He didn't even attempt a pass.
He tore his UCL, didn't he?
He didn't even attempt a pass. He didn't even try to go back in and see if he could throw. He said, I can't do it. The guy has
thrown on the sidelines, wasn't he?
Yeah.
I actually land on Joey D's side on this. A lot of people give him shit for it, but I agree too, man. You're a real gamer.
Patrick Mahomes was fucking hobbling in between plays.
Yeah but hobbling and not being able to actually throw the football physically.
I understand, but he didn't even try a snap. He didn't even try it. And didn't even go in.
He was
Josh Allen played the entire second half of the season injured.
With no elbow.
With no elbow. I do agree. I mean, I'm with you on that, Joey D.
What do you think, Mikey B?
I think Trey Lance... Here's what I think. I think the quarterback position, the easiest place to play quarterback currently in the NFL is in San Francisco. That's the easiest place to play quarterback. They have arguably the best game manager, game planning, offensive mind in the league, Shanahan. They have Deebo Samuel. They have Christian McCaffrey. They have George Kittle. They have the best left tackle in the NFL. They have... Brandon Ayuk, they have the best defense in the NFL, arguably. That is the easiest play. If you can't play quarterback in San Francisco, you can't play quarterback in the NFL, period. So I think that Lance would be successful. I think Purdy will be successful because, again, like I said, I think it's the easiest spot to play quarterback in the entire National Football League because there is so much you can lean on. The defense, the playmakers. This guy doesn't even have to throw the ball 20 yards down the field. All he's got to do is get it to McCaffrey or Deebo Samuel in space. They'll make a zillion guys miss. All he's got to do is throw play action to Kittle, cross the middle slants to Kittle. And then if that doesn't work, you got Ayuk going streaks down the field. They are an embarrassment of offensive risk. Your blind side's never going to be in jeopardy because you have a fucking human wall at left tackle. This guy has an embarrassment of riches at his disposal in San Francisco. That's why I think no matter who gets that job, I bet you John Lynch's mentality is the same. He's probably thinking, listen, okay, we traded all that equity away for Lance. Maybe we could get some of it back, get even more playmakers, more trench guys, more elite defenders. And we don't need Trey Lance because we know that anybody could fucking do this job because of how good Shanahan and these this offense is. And we don't need a fucking – we don't need him. We don't need him.
Do you think Carson Wentz could play quarterback for them?
I think anybody could, Tick. I really do. Now, Carson Wentz – the only thing about Carson Wentz that bugs me now is I think Carson Wentz is, like, too much in his head, and I think he's become a total – like,
he's always been.
That's why I think he's a total basket case now. Like, I don't – I think, like, he's got, like, the quarterback yips. Like, he's done. He's done. He's got – he's a basket case. But I'm talking about, like, normal guys, normal quarterbacks.
Normal guys,
I think, like could go there and play, like I don't know. You give me an example of, like, anybody else in the league. I mean, aside from, you know, I don't want to say, like, a crazy name, but I think that it works right now. If you got indoctrinated into that Shanahan system from the jump like Purdy did, I think he will be fine in that system. So I think Lance would be fine in the system. My only thing is, if I'm John Lynch, maybe he's looking at it like I can recoup some of those losses from moving up to draft him, and I'm comfortable enough with Purdy. I saw enough. I think he can operate it and run it with Shanahan.
Imagine they had Aaron Rodgers. My God.
Well,
that's where Aaron wants to get. I mean, in a perfect world, that's where Aaron wants to be.
That's a Super Bowl right there is what that is.
Yeah.
The Packers can't do that. They could. They would be very foolish to, because they'll never win the NFC ever in the win the NFC again in the next five.
They can't beat San Francisco with fucking Garoppolo.
That's why you can't. They already have a problem inherently with San Francisco. You cannot go ahead and then give them your quarterback.
And this stemmed back to, like, they couldn't beat the Niners when they had Kaepernick. They could never beat them.
That's been their Achilles heel. It's been their bugaboo for them to go out and then give them a Hall of Fame first ballot. No questions asked. Your gem. Whatever you want to call it. Your I don't know the word I'm looking for.
The crown jewel.
I've lost it. The crown jewel. That's it. to give them your crown jewel quarterback. That would be an absolute slap in the face to every Packer fan, and it would just jeopardize your chance of winning the NFC for the next 5 years. You can't do that.
So do you think, Mikey V, if playing quarterback in San Francisco is the easiest job you can have, do you think that Garoppolo got a great deal because of that? And do you think that he will be any better or worse now in his new home?
So Jimmy is in Vegas now.
Correct.
Jeez, what a disaster that is.
Garoppolo to me is a pretty boy guy who I don't know how well-liked he is by his – let me rephrase that. I don't know how well respected he is by his coaches and teammates. I think he's probably a well-liked guy because he's probably one of those guys that, like, I think goes out and does good things for his guys and things like that. But in terms of respect on the field, I don't know how well respected he is. He's never a guy that's going to go out there and sling the ball and complete 25 to 30 passes in a game. I don't know how big of an upgrade he is over Derek Carr, to be honest with you. I mean, I really don't. Yeah, I don't think he's much of an upgrade at all. I really don't. But again, you know, these teams, bad teams stay bad, man. Bad teams have a knack for staying bad. This and McDaniels, like the McDaniels hire, I thought was bad. Now you bring in Jimmy G. Like, bad teams have a real knack of staying bad sometimes. And I think the Raiders kind of fall into that category. I do.
The thing I'll say about the Raiders, though, is – Joey, do you go? What were you going to say?
No, I was just saying I agree with that 100%.
Yeah, the thing about the Raiders with Derek Carr was, like, if I saw it was a tie game, it was 6 minutes left in the fourth quarter, I was like, all right, they're going to lose this game. Derek Carr finds ways to lose games. And like it or not, people hate this argument. Jimmy G wins football games. And so to finally have a guy in Vegas who finds ways to win, maybe they're not always the sexiest, maybe they're not always the best, he does. He's got a winning record. He's been to a Super Bowl. He wins football games. I didn't feel that way. I could be wrong. It was just the way that I always felt about Derek Carr. It was like, this guy will find a way to – the amount of times that he had a 20-point or 21-point lead and he would just blow it in the second half.
I bet you right now – Derek Carr wins more games with the Saints this year than Jimmy G wins with the Raiders.
Wow. That's interesting. That's interesting. Mike V, what do you think about that?
Saints are in a pap smear division, so I'd agree with that.
All right, fair enough. I'll take that.
The Raiders are playing against, you know, potentially now with Sean Payton in Denver. If Russell Wilson can, like, not be a total scumbag this year, that's fine. But you would think they'd have to be somewhat better inherently with Payton at the helm. You still got the Chargers on a big prove-it year for Herbert and the coach, and obviously the juggernaut in Kansas City. So, I mean, that's a bet that you'd have to take. You'd have to believe that the Saints would win more games. Carolina, they're adding guys, but who knows how that's going to work out. Tampa Bay, no Tom.
Falcons are garbage.
And, yeah, Atlanta's a fucking train wreck, too. So the Saints, I mean, the Saints are in the driver's seat to win that division. I think Saints and Carolina, it'll come down to. I hope Carolina does poorly, obviously, because the worse they do, the better that pick is for Chicago next year. So I hope Carolina wins, like, two games. But we'll see.
I'll take that action, Joe. I think give me Jimmy G and give me the best wide receiver in football. Give me Jimmy G and the best wide receiver in football.
That's a stupid bet on your part.
I'll take it. You offered it up, I'll take it.
Okay.
Well, we'll have to
take it as a gambling man. You should give him odds, though. That's a bullshit straight up bet.
He took it straight up.
I'll take it straight up. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, I would have asked. I would ask for +150, +200 on that. Ticket's a good, better man than me. I would have demanded odds.
It's respect. It's on respect.
I guess so.
I mean, it's just a pride bet. It's not like there's anything on it, but like,
That's fine. That's fine.
I think it's something to monitor throughout the season. It's like something we can watch throughout the season. But I don't think Jimmy G is that good.
He's not that good. He's not that good at all.
Derek Carr has
his record
talent. He just
check his record. I mean, Ticket, again, he played for a juggernaut organization. That San Francisco, I mean, you saw what happened when he got hurt. A guy that was Mr. Irrelevant. Yeah. I mean, a guy came in and fucking took him to an NFC title game. The guy was Mr. Irrelevant.
Yeah.
We'll see. We'll see. Joe, we're also watching what? I think that Russell Wilson won't win more than what? What did I say? Like 3 or 4 games?
Yeah, you think that they're going to be the worst team in the league?
I think Russell, not the worst, but I said I don't think they're going to win like more.
I think they're still going to be shitty.
I think they'll win. I'll put it to you this way. I think they'll win 7 games at least.
That's what I said.
I think they'll win 7 games. I think
they should win 7.
I did. But you don't understand like how bad Nathaniel Hackett was compared to what Sean Payton will do there. Sean Payton, I'll give Sean Payton 3 wins by himself alone. He'll coach them to 3 wins alone with nobody. He could do that, I think.
The Broncos were on primetime TV. There was a stretch of the season.
Yeah, it was tough to watch.
And no offense to you, Joe, but I'd rather watch curling than I would rather watch that offense try to move the ball even a yard.
The Colts-Broncos Thursday night game was one of the worst football games I ever watched in the history of watching football. It was. I would have rather watched a college football like a Texas Tech against like Kansas State at like 10:30 kickoff on a Saturday night. Give me that 100 times out of 100 than ever having to watch something like that. Even the
Broncos-Niners game was terrible. Was it a Monday night? That game was terrible, too. No one wanted to win
Broncos
the game.
Broncos were shit, man. They were so bad. Bad.
Oh, all right, boys. Well, let's move on to the viewer questions, and then we'll get out of here. So this is the question that we punted to this week from last week. We can do it again. I know we've already been on here a long time, but I'll at least broach it to you guys. From Andy, how did you all meet each other and meet Bob? You want to do that one this week?
No, let's just do that one, and then we'll wrap it up.
Okay, perfect.
So that question, I mean, I never knew who Mikey V was, to be honest, like until like obviously Bob and I met in L.A., working at the hotel. Bob got brought in as an overnight front desk manager, or not even a manager, overnight front desk agent. I was managing the restaurant. We were both closing. Ticket's getting something out of the closet.
Ticket's like, this story's going to take way too long.
No, I'm here.
But yeah, no, so long story short, Bob and I met at the hotel. We connected. We started becoming friends. We started going out golfing, this and that. Lo and behold, our friendship blossomed. We started doing the online social media stuff. Bob was doing the Brilliantly Dumb podcast he started up by himself. It was like a running bit where he would basically do like a stand-up comedy act every week. And I would help him come up with different things, and we'd put it together, and that's how we started. Then from there, he created the Patreon. And then we would do every Thursday, we would have Patreon nights where we'd have Zoom calls with everybody who was part of it. The Patreon access got them more content, and then they could interact with us and drink with us on Thursdays via Zoom. So for me, my first encounter with Mikey V was through one of these Patreon Zoom happy hours. It probably was a couple of years after we started it. And I didn't know anything about him. He came on, he was wearing all Bears gear and talking about football. And that was right around the time that we had met Nikki Smigs as well. And that was my first, I really, to be honest, I had no idea who Mikey V was before that. So we kind of got brought up through that. And then obviously we really became close because Bear Down was brought in after Jerry Don left the, you know, the Brilliant Done podcast. Jerry went to Barstool and Bob brought in Bear Down to be like his informant, like, you know, pick, you know, superstar guy who's going to make picks and help people win money. And I came on for a rogue episode. And I think Bear Down and I kind of went at it. And that was, I mean, I think that's how everything came about, no? Mm-hmm. Remember you were doing Prize Picks, Mikey?
Yeah, I think.
And I told you I thought DK Metcalf was
come through and have
a big game, and you said like that's a terrible pick, and then he went out and played huge, and then the next week I think I took Antonio Brown and he hit, and I went on like a little heater for like 3 weeks, and then Bob just kept bringing me on, and it's hard to imagine us not all being on the Brilliant Dumb Show before.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Wild to think.
Jet made that clip, Joe? Like, Jet made that DK Metcalf clip, and you posted it, and it just set Mikey V off.
There's another clip that Mikey or that Jet sent me that I have somewhere down where the Bears were playing the Packers in Chicago at Soldier Field.
Yeah.
And Mikey V was watching the game with Smigs and Rigatoni, and they're trash talking the hell out of me because after the first half, the Bears were dominating, and then Aaron came back and did what he always does, and he took over the game. And then when they scored the winning touchdown, he ran in. He said, "I still own you" to the fans. And then Jet clipped up something special, and I put it on the post. Mikey V was
Jet. Shout out, Jet. Not really.
But that being said, it's been the reason our friendship has blossomed. You know, and it's hard to believe, like, as oppositional as we are with our teams, like we still like, we actually get along very, very well. Like,
yes,
it's surprising because people think that we would hate one another being Packers and Bears fans.
But if the Bears were better, Mikey, it would be intolerable.
Oh, yeah, it would be tough.
You have to admit it, Mikey V. If the Bears were good, if your quarterback said, "I own
my college team," is like the top perennial powerhouse almost every year. They make the playoffs every year. I'm not insufferable when it comes to college football. I'm not. Let me tell you something. I love them. I love them as much as I love the Bears.
You would take a Bears Super Bowl over a national
championship. I would, because I've seen Ohio State win a national championship multiple times now. So, yes, I would, 100%. There's no question. But when it comes time to, like, the biggest event of the year for football for me is nothing other than Ohio State-Michigan. Nothing. Nothing is bigger than that for me than that game. And to just go on and – I didn't know who Bob was. I didn't know who Joe was. I knew nothing of the Brilliantly Dumb Show. I knew nothing of Bob. I knew nothing of Ticket, nothing of Jet. And I joined that Patreon happy hour. I forget who introduced me to it. I want to say it was one of my buddies from Staten Island who we go on vacation with every single summer when we do the ridiculous flag setup. And they were part of this Patreon thing where they do the happy hour every Thursday. And this was during COVID. And I was just looking for something to do because it was just so brutal. So I joined it in 2020, I want to say. And I just got on like one night and Bob like put me on the spotlight thing or whatever. And I just went off on a tangent about something. I don't know. I went off about something and he like side texted me or he DM'd me, something like that. And he was like, "Listen," he's like, "I really think that you should be like, you should have this spot. Like, I'll bring you onto my show for like 10 minutes. I was never like a partner on a co-host on the podcast in the very beginning. I was just supposed to have a 10 to 15 minute segment doing picks. That's all I was doing, which was fine by me because I love to do that. And then once it like it got the ball rolling, then it was like, okay, whole episodes. Then when Joe came on, we immediately clicked with the back and forth banter between the Packers originally, and then with the betting conflicts. And then that's when I met Ticket. Ticket, I remember Ticket's old Instagram when he was doing the cigars outside and doing the pics. I loved that. I thought it was so funny. And I was like, who the fuck is this guy, man? I was like, who is this guy smoking a cigar outside? And then met the Jet. And then Perez, it was kind of the same thing. Perez was a Patreon happy hour guy.
Patreon
also
gave us our two biggest acquisitions between Mikey V and Perez.
That's how it all started, was
could
from the Patreon happy hour.
Could you imagine
we
have those two guys? Imagine that's, no Perez, no Mikey V. The Brilliantly Dumb Show and Bob the Sports, for all intents and purposes, is not – it's nothing it's compared to where we are right now.
So yeah, and then that's how this all started, and now it's like it's really crazy what has happened rapidly over the last 2 years. I would say once 2021 hit, it was like everything to me seemed like everything just went like full steam ahead. End of 2021 into now, and now it's crazy. It's like coming full circle. Now the Breezy comes to New York, and it comes to my hometown, and now fucking 12 of my friends are going to be playing in the tournament. And I'm going to get to co-host with you guys
that
tournament. Yeah, I mean, it's just surreal. Like, it's very, very surreal. I still think about all the things we do and all the things we're continuing to do. And everyone has their hands in everything. I don't think people realize that. Like, this podcast, Ticket is busy doing stuff for Bob Does Sports. Joe is busy doing stuff for Bob Does Sports. I'm busy doing stuff for Brilliantly Dumb Show. Bob's doing stuff for both. Joe's doing stuff for both. Perez is doing stuff for Bob Does Sports. Jet is doing stuff for Bob Does Sports. Our other intern is chopping up stuff for Brilliantly Dumb. It's all kind of like interwoven into this one real magical kind of group of guys. And I wouldn't have it any other way. It's a great core group. I still say I will put our core group against any group 100%. On the internet. And not in a negative way. I'm not saying that like, I'm just saying, like, I will take our core group of guys against any other core group of guys out there in terms of content, in terms of getting a good laugh, in terms of getting good information and good content. And it's wild. It all came really from that stupid fucking ripoff Patreon happy hour. Really is what it came. It really
like
is that's
when
what
Bob
it came
messaged
from.
You back then, if you would be able to like see fast forward like 2 years down the road, 2.5, 3 years, that you'd be DraftKings sponsorship, talking to Wendy's, like this kind of shit that's going down. Would you believe that? Or is that just fucking crazy?
No,
if you actually just think about it, it's
like, so the biggest things I was doing before I met Bob was doing like player and athlete interviews. I was doing like, I had done Urlacher, Alex Brown, I had the show with Adam Rank, I had done Rob Ninkovich from ESPN, I had done. Spice Adams, I'd had him on a couple times. So I had done some relatively, so to me, when I met Bob, I was kind of like, all right, Bob's funny, but like, you know, I had done some stuff with these guys who are legitimately on television all the time. So I'm like thinking to myself, I'm like, all right, like, let's see what happens here. And nothing, you know, I had gotten some little things off of that for whatever, but nothing exploded like when everyone in this group came together and became what we are now. That is what set this into a stratosphere of which I was never prepared for it to be in. To the point where I'm like, all right, what's going to happen next? That's where I'm sitting now. I'm like, all right, what's next?
Yeah. Well, Bob made a deal with the devil in Miami, so we're all set.
Sure did.
Ticket, do you remember the first time meeting Mikey V?
Yeah, I was doing ticket bets and I did one of them. I was doing like 5 posts a day. What a mistake. What an idiot.
You were doing, bro. You were rocking that thing, bro. I was like, listen, this guy's got to be spending more money in the cigars than he is with cashing tickets. Cause he's got a cigar in his mouth. He's like Milton Berle.
I remember.
He's like George Burns.
I remember the first time I had even seen his name, because I never went to the happy hours, so I didn't know even you were a happy hour guy. But I just remember I posted a bet or something. I was like 49ers over or something like that, and all I got was the first time I ever saw Bear Down. He just commented on the post and was like, "That's a terrible bet. That you're not going to want to do that. You're not going to want to. It bears under all day, man."
I apologize for that.
I was like, but then I looked into you and I was like, this guy really knows what he's talking about. I just smoke cigars. That's all I do.
But to the untrained eye, though, I would really, following that page and watching you, I would say that this guy knows exactly what he's doing.
Yeah. It was all fun.
100%.
You were tough on yourself too, Ticket. You were tough on yourself. Yeah. Like, I think that you went on a streak for a while where you were doing
very hockey. Well. I did best by hockey. But Mikey V, did I hear you call out Jake Paul, putting your best guys up against anyone else on the internet? You calling him out?
Yeah, I mean, I could give a fuck about Jake Paul. Yeah. I mean, listen, it's no. Listen, I respect. We went over this last week. I gained so much respect for him after he fought Tommy Fury, and then the Nate Diaz news has to come out, and it's just like I lost so much. Everything I thought he was moving forward with kind of all went down the tubes again for me. I respect the empire he's built. I respect the wealth he's built. I respect all of that. I think it's an incredible story. I think he's a hustler. I think he's a fucking smart guy. But in terms of like me respecting him as a boxer, I have zero respect for that. I have respect. I want him to box boxers. Yeah. Just become a regular guy boxer. And you know why he won't do that? And it's because he's very smart. Is because he's not stupid and he sees that boxing is a dying sport. Boxing is a dying sport. It has to be this celebrity death match kind of feel to it in order to generate buzz and revenue, because regular boxing is a dead sport. It is.
It's true. Fair.
You know what killed it is guys like Floyd Mayweather.
Combat sports, UFC has taken over. Like, nobody wants to buy a boxing pay-per-view. Everyone and their mother is buying the UFC pay-per-views. Everybody.
Because it's a way better product.
Yeah. I don't disagree with that whatsoever, Joe. But that's why it's like, you know what? If you really cared about boxing and you want to say you're a boxer, you're serious. Why don't you be the ambassador? Why don't you be the new Oscar De La Hoya? Why don't you be the new, somebody like Marvin Hagler, Roy Jones Jr.? You be that new guy that this generation so desperately needs to resurrect one of the greatest sports on the planet. Resurrect it. That to me would be impressive. Not fighting washed up guys who never even fought in the sport that you're fighting in. That's not the way to do it. The way to do it is fighting a Tommy Fury, giving guys like that an opportunity. That's the way to do it.
Imagine going back to when Mike Tyson was fighting and fast forwarding to the future and watching Jake Paul.
That's what I mean.
I mean, like, we'd be like, what the fuck?
Yeah. It's so sad, man.
Where did we go wrong? Like, Lennox Lewis, fucking. All these guys, that you had fighting back then, it was so good. Holyfield,
Holyfield.
I mean, where the hell did boxing go down the drain?
The heavyweights. I mean, listen, the heavyweights always carried boxing. We know that, but I mean, you had some great Roy Jones Jr., Marvin Hagler, Oscar De La Hoya, Triple G, even for a while, Canelo Alvarez for a while, Floyd fucking Mayweather, Manny Pacquiao. It wasn't all heavyweights. It didn't have to be. But when no one wants to fight in the sport anymore and they see the numbers that UFC does and they see the kind of buzz that UFC gets, these guys, I think they would just rather grow up in a combat sport like that instead of boxing. And it's a shame because to me, there is nothing better than a heavyweight title fight. I thought that the Fury Wilder 2, not the last one, but the one before it was one of the best fights I've seen in so long. And I just missed that. I missed that so much because growing up, that's what I watched all the time was boxing. I mean, boxing was nobody heard of UFC. UFC was one of those things that was very taboo when I was growing up.
By the way, UFC
they had UFC VHA, the UFC VHS tapes at the movie store that you could rent or buy like the adult videos. Like you couldn't, because they were banned in many countries because of how violent it was. Like when Ken Shamrock and Dan Severn were doing all those like pro combat and all that shit was so controversial and taboo. And now it's become so mainstream. But back in the day, it was never the case. You could never even watch it.
The UFC fighters were not making much money even up until
and some of them still aren't. And what's his name always likes to break balls about that, Jake Paul, right? I think he's one of the guys who always gets on Dana White about not paying these guys enough. But again, but that's not the sport that you're participating in. So you really should not say anything about it, in my opinion. You're a boxer, so worry about boxing.
Yeah. All right, fair enough.
Hell of an episode, boys. We went off on a tangent today.
Yeah, I'm fucking exhausted.
I made one comment about Jake Paul, and we went on a box.
That Italian tracksuit looks like it's ready to go through the laundry. It looks like you're just drenched in sweat there, Mikey. Oh, that was good.
All right, boys. Another good one. Another good one. That's another episode of The Sportsman. That's Joey D. That's Mikey V. I'm the Big Ticket, and we'll see you next week.